Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 years or older.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Extra Points, presented as ever by our pals over at Omaha. It's been an eventful week in the world of sports. Caitlin Clark got all the flowers. South Carolina got the national championship. We're focused in on the last days of the regular season of Puck, like dorks are. I'm talking about me and Eddie Spaghetti there behind the glass. The other person whose laugh you hear right there laughing condescendingly at me is, of course, the roastest with the mostest. She's working on what she does best, roast jokes for the upcoming Tom Brady roast coming up in early May, I believe, at the Forum. 17,000 people. She's cracking wise over there. She is, of course, Sarah Tiana. And breaking news on this day, and I say it's a big one in the world of sports, O.J. Simpson, Buffalo Bills legend, has passed. How are you, Sarah Tiana?
I'm good. I'm assuming that, you know, Buffalo Bills fans are even happier. Like, they're finally getting some good news for a change. So you like that for Bills fans. But I'm good. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of bummed that we can't get OJ on the roast because he would have been a killer. You know, you always want to book killers on the roast, and it would have been great just for fodder. I know.
He slayed. It is, do you now feel, though, like all of a sudden, little 2020 hindsight, instead of Tom Brady, maybe you should have been roasting the juice while you had the opportunity?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can remember when we were on a show called The Burn with Jeff Ross. It was this Comedy Central show that we did. And he was in prison, and I was like, he's not doing anything. Like, why can't we get him on this? Like, we were going around roasting people in different situations, and I was like, we got to go get OJ in jail. And Jeff just was
wow,
like,
he sits behind bars.
Yeah. What else is he doing? I think at that time he had got put behind bars. Yeah, that was after like trying to steal the Heisman back or something. Obviously, I think that's the only
right time.
Right.
Yeah. 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 I remember that that second go around with Johnny Law that the Juice had. It's funny because I don't remember when the burn exactly was going on, but in the hours after the news about O.J. Simpson dying at age 76, it has turned on social media, at least, into a celebration of Norm MacDonald. And yeah. And I got to like I wrote on Norm MacDonald's Comedy Central pilot, whatever that was now, like, boy, that's longer ago than I guess a dozen or so years ago. And it's funny that Norm is now being celebrated for, I mean, essentially roasting OJ on SNL and beyond, and how tied together those two guys are. So listen,
I was just watching that 11-minute highlight that they put together. His OJ jokes. Yeah. I mean, can I tell you my favorite one?
I'd love to hear it. That's what I was just about to ask you. I don't think we need to fumble our way into trying to like make sense of OJ Simpson 30 years after. Like, I will say, on -3, we had Chris Long on, and at the back end, after Chris Long and I did some foolishness, Spaghetti and I was just about to say chopped up the OJ experience, but pun would not have been intended there. But we did talk about, like, it was a fascinating, and I still think the chief example of like how hard it is to unring the bell of like perception. And OJ was people thought he was dynamite. Like, he was a football legend, but then really funny and Naked Gun, everybody liked it. It was a hard adjustment for a lot of people to make. Like, okay, but you have the evidence that he's not a good guy now. People really had a hard time turning around on that. And so a fascinating study in sort of a social study. But anyhow, enough about any of that and trying to make sense of that. This is an opportunity to talk about Norm MacDonald. So let's do that.
Well, yeah, I was also just going to say that, like, you think about, I listen to so many true crime podcasts and like just wrapping your head around a public trial back then. I mean, I remember when they announced the verdict, I was in high school in like history class, and our vice principal came over the speaker and said, "Hey, this is a historic day. The OJ verdict is in. We're all going to watch." And I don't even remember what my reaction was, because I didn't, you know, like some people were cheering, some people were booing. Like, you were like, "Oh, people are actually divided on this." And like, we were all enraptured by it. But, you know, I also listened to so many true crime podcasts, and I think now, like, gosh, like the way that technology and DNA and evidence work now, I wonder what if he would have been convicted now, you know, because you go, "Oh, well, I bet they would have had more evidence and it would have been easier." But also the legal system has so many more loopholes built in now that like you can get the case dismissed on a technicality, which is essentially the long form version of what they did back in the mid 90s. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously, Norm McDonald's,
I don't want to get, I'm not trying to get deep on it, but the thing that always struck me then and is still true now is, it's really the start of, like, you know, people attempted in the moment to turn it into a race debate, and with good reason, but also, and, you know, the documentary ties it back to, back to the LA riots and everything else, and makes sense of it. But also, it was really about people who have money, and that if you have enough of it, the way you can kind of steer justice, and that's what, it's funny that connects to 2024. I feel it's still valid.
True.
That's where our collective cynicism really hit the mainstream. I think, like, that you realize that, oh, you can, if you throw enough money at high powered lawyers and you have a dozen of them sitting with you, you probably can find the justice that you seek.
Yeah, and you know, I remember thinking forever, like, how could you be a lawyer and be okay defending people that you know are guilty? And then I heard a lawyer once say, it's actually easier, because if I lose, at least I know that like some justice was, like, if they go to prison, like sending an innocent person to prison is way harder than sending someone that you're like, they might have done it. So if the jury doesn't trust me, like, I'm okay with that. I can sleep better at night. So, I mean, I don't know.
Rationalization, or is it John Adams that you have to, you know, that everybody is entitled to defense and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, maybe. Listen.
Yes, definitely rich people. But my favorite Norm Macdonald joke was always the one he did at the ESPYs, where he said, Charles Woodson is here. Charles Woodson won the Heisman this year. That's something they can never take away from you, unless you kill your wife and a waiter.
Right. It was fantastic in the reaction to it and the cutaways to all the athletes.
Ken Griffey.
They're supposed to be doing.
Ken Griffey, like, that's such a great gif. Yeah. Always the best joke.
Here was in the top five Hollywood moments for Dave. Dumb Dave has no business mixing in high-end Hollywood endeavors. And yet I found myself once working on that Norm Macdonald sports show. Monday Night Football was on, and Mike Vick was playing the Dallas Cowboys, if I remember correctly. And it was such a decisive sort of game that at some point we talked about, Norm and I were, why I said, like, that the Cowboys aren't going to score again this game. This game is not just over. Like, the Cowboys are done scoring for the night. And like, I'll bet you $100 on that or whatever. And so we made the bet, and I ended up winning, and he gave me $100. No. I'm sorry. I had to give him $100. Mm-hmm. And he called me. I got a message from him the next morning before I had even woken up, a voicemail from Norm Macdonald. And I wish I had it still. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was doing a bit for a minute, but then I realized he was being sincere. Like, he was a big time gambler, and he was like, "I got to give you your money back. I'm not allowed to take any money I'm not allowed to actually exchange any dollars around this, and I was like, is this a joke? And I realized, like, oh no, I beat Norm Macdonald in a bet, and now he has to give me the money back because he's not allowed to accept the money for whatever reason, because he's trying to not gamble anymore.
Was that part of his Gamblers Anonymous program?
I guess so. Yeah, it was something along those lines. And the other thing with Norm was, I once then, not long after that, shot a bit with, I was the writer on it, not in the bit, of course, but him and Adam Carolla. Can you imagine those three voices, my annoying voice with Norm Macdonald and Adam Carolla, those two guys having a conversation? What do you think about that? And then me chiming in from the side to make it that much worse.
Gotta have the volume turned down.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Anyway, so OJ is gone. And like I say, Tiana, I want to talk about some stuff tying football history to the present. But first, let's get your reaction on the two national championships in college basketball we saw. 4 million more human beings watched the women's final than did the men's. But I feel like the even more significant game was the semifinal. But either way, your reaction, Caitlin Clark. Here's the first question I have for you.
Okay.
About it. I don't get the, like, that Caitlin Clark has been hated on. Do you sense that? Like, there's a lot of defenders for this, like, hey, get off Caitlin Clark's back. Like, who's on her back?
Oh, yeah. I don't see that there's like a ton of haters. I mean, I think there's a little fatigue. I know for me, I have a little Caitlin Clark fatigue because it's like she's someone that it's like all we hear about constantly, you know, which makes sense because she's incredible and she's, you know, shooting from half court and it's really fun to watch and she's very dynamic. But, you know, the call complaining and like getting the calls, you know, it becomes,
is that what it is?
I think it becomes like, you know, like people thinking, oh, it's a targeted foul. I think that's kind of where it started for me, where I was like, that didn't seem like a flagrant foul at all. But, you know, like whenever you feel like someone's being protected by the sport itself, you get a little, you know, like everybody's trying hard. Everyone's working hard. You know, you are the best, but that doesn't mean that you get more perks. You're already getting the perks financially. You don't need to get the perks on the court as well. So I think for me, there is a little bit of fatigue. You know, I was like excited to see Beckers, you know, like I was excited. I thought the UConn game was really fun. But I thought the South Carolina team was just like so dominant. Like it was kind of fun. But seeing Caitlin Clark lose the national championship 2 years in a row. I mean, is she really, I mean, obviously she's dominant, but like it does kind of put an asterisk on her legacy in college, no?
Yeah, it does. And I guess that's what I'm getting at is that, okay, so previous generations of women's basketball players are weighing in to say like, Caitlin Clark is great, but I was great too. And my generation was great too. And what that all adds up to, and hey, the refs are favoring her with calls. All that adds up to she's being treated like a prominent sports figure. That's what a sports conversation is. And this weird adjustment that some percentage of the public, but the media I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to go so far as to say telling on themselves because they're not doing anything wrong, but it is weird that they are treating women or this woman a little bit differently than they would in any other sports conversation. Fair or no?
I think that's fair. You know what I mean? I think it's fair. Because when you think of like Fallujah Johnson and like, you know, like the LSU girls, you're like, you know, Angel Reese, you're like, you know, they get a lot of hate. And I would say that they are maybe not, I would say they're equally as dominant, but they're, you know, more two of them. And like they're off the court antics were really highlighted with their mothers fighting. And, you know, but I do think it's great for women's basketball. Like all the hate, all the conversation, good or bad, all it is putting a spotlight on the basketball. So it's really good. Bad press is still press and there's more conversations around it. Whereas the conversation in men's basketball is like, well, Zach Edey gave up.
Well, are we supposed to like, I mean, I don't expect you to speak for every 21st century woman who, especially one who enjoys sports, but I mean, it really is sort of like the announcement is, treat this differently than everything else. And I don't think that's, I don't think that's what Caitlin Clark or anyone else involved with women's basketball wants, but I do feel like that maybe there is some momentum to like, yeah, you should handle this a little bit differently, if not from the women themselves, but from these overly protective overlords or something like that. Like, wait, you can't do that, which is ultimately, I think, not regarding those women as on equal footing, right?
Yeah. You have to be critical. Like that is fair. That's what makes it equal. You talk about them equally and like you're critical. You're not just like, you know,
well, as far as that goes. Okay. Then now transition from that to local hero, David Bednar, Pittsburgh, PA native, an all-star closer in the past, having some awful struggles early going for the otherwise very successful Pittsburgh Pirates, soaring high, but Bednar has blown three saves in Pittsburgh. He blew a save to the Detroit Tigers the other day, and some people in attendance booed. This led Rowdy Tellez, new member of the Buccos, to flack for Bednar before the press could even get to Bednar and say, like, the fans have to be better. You can't boo him like this. This was wrong to do this. How say you, Sarah Tiana, on the locals in Pittsburgh booing native son David Bednar? Is that out of bounds, or are you a paying customer? You're allowed to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I think I'm a paying customer, and it shows that I'm a passionate fan, and I'm probably going to boo the other team just like faster. But you're frustrated. You want to win. You're on a roll. You start off super hot. You got this great team around you, a young team, you know, a lot of prospects coming through the pipeline. Like, you know, I feel like everybody kind of looks at the Pirates as this like major league team, right? That you're the Cleveland Indians because, you know.
Some people don't regard them as a major league team with good reason.
Well, I mean, from the movie Major League, right? So I'm just saying you know.
Oh, I see.
Like Major League-esque in that, like, you know, you're the little engine that could, you know, you're like, you're not the highest payroll. You're not even the half highest payroll, you know, but like still so good. So many good prospects, so many possibilities. And especially at the beginning of the season, you're like, wow, we could do it. We could go places in this division because the division itself isn't insane. You know, you're beating the Reds. So it seems who are also a fun team. So I think people are frustrated that you want to start off hot. You want to keep the momentum, and every game does matter. I mean, we talked about it with the Phillies and the Rangers just getting home field advantage based on the first series of the season last year. And when you are a Philadelphia team, losing home field advantage would have been a really big deal. Since Philly is so good. So I don't disagree, but I love Tellez coming to bat for him. Like, I think that shows unity within the team. And I think it's ultimately great. Like, you do need adversity and you do need people booing you so that you're not let off the hook. I don't think he's probably pretty aware that he's blowing the save, and you're not gonna, like, booing him doesn't change the fact that he's already mad at himself. Like, it doesn't.
Is Atlanta a booing town? I don't associate. I feel like the sports fan experience there is that if the team is bad, people just don't go to the games. It's not that they go there, that they're so white hot with rage or whatever. It's just like, well, screw them then. God, well, bless their hearts. I hope they turn it around by next season is sort of the reaction that I sense from the South.
No, we're definitely a booing team when it comes to certain teams, like the Phillies, the Mets. The Mets are in town right now.
I mean booing your own.
No, we don't really boo our own. But the stadium, you know, we had the most sellouts of any team in Major League Baseball last year. Like, people are really going.
Especially
the new stadium is pretty amazing. And the Battery, which is like kind of the new method that people are... When they're building new stadiums, they're building the experience around the stadium, which is you don't have to go into the game to be there and enjoy it. So even if you can't get into the game, or maybe you don't want to buy a ticket, you just come, park, sit at the restaurants, drink beer, watch the game. They have all these big screens and like big play areas for kids, big turf grass areas, bands playing, you know. The broadcasters sit out there so you can even be a part of the broadcast. Like, there's stores, and all the stores have to do with baseball. Like, there's a baseballism store. There's all these cool, trendy merchandise stores of like eclectic merchandise that you could never get in the stadium, but they're like,
they were to do that at Dodger Stadium. Remember that about a decade ago? They were thinking about building out in the parking lot, a whole thing. And then the cynics were like, we shouldn't have to try to lure people with other stuff to come and watch baseball, but
Now with Dodger Stadium, the big thing is the what is that thing called? Like the gondola. They're trying to build a gondola from downtown LA to Chavez Ravine so that people can get to the stadium. It's such a traffic nightmare getting in and out of there. Although I feel like they've kind of figured it out. It's not as bad as SoFi, but yeah. So I think, the Braves, I don't think Braves fans boo their own players that much. Like, I can even remember when I worked there, like Mark Wohlers was really struggling as a reliever. and people would like just cheer him. Even if he was like blowing state, like people would just give him standing ovations when he came in. And it almost messed him up because it put more pressure on him to feel like, oh, everybody loves me so much. If they hate
Wait,
you,
am I supposed
like,
to be throwing home run balls? Maybe that's what they seem to like. I guess I'll throw another one.
You know how like sometimes that can backfire? Like it didn't backfire with Trey Turner last year when they gave him the standing ovation. And I know that Angels just tried to do that for Rendon, but sometimes it can backfire. Like sometimes you do need that adversity of people booing you and hating you to be like, I'll prove you wrong. It just depends on where you are in your mental space of like what you can handle and what you can't.
I think that's right. You always hear about the most successful coaches and managers are the ones who understand that, you can't treat every player the same, you know, carrot or the whip and all that kind of stuff. The Pittsburgh fans booing a local guy is gross to me. It veers into Philly and Boston and New York territory. Mm-hmm. I ain't for it. But as I've said before, and we'll say again, once the locals start going to hockey games and doing chants to fire the football team's offensive coordinator, the horse has left the barn and there's no coming back from it at this point. I mean, like that's, I guess Pittsburgh is veering into ugly sports town status now where that kind of stuff goes.
Yeah. On. I applaud the passion. Like I'm a big fan of that. I was a fan of the Steelers fans cheering for Matt Canada to leave. I think what I don't like is when your team is good and successful and you're booing one thing where you're like, all right, no, like, I'm sorry, but Chiefs fans don't get to boo one ref not getting a call. You know what I mean? Like, no, now you're just, that's a like loser. Like, that's like a what I'm trying to say, like you have it all mentality and like, you still want more. It's like the eat the rich.
Want to have his cake and some pie. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I don't like.
Okay. Now, so we're talking Atlanta, and we talked with Chris Long earlier in the week, and Eddie Spaghetti weighed in with his Giants choice here. Now I turn to you, Sarah Tiana, as the Atlanta Falcons rep on this show. Mm-hmm. You can bring back one player from Atlanta Falcons history in his prime and plug him into the 2024 Atlanta Falcons. Who is it?
Michael Vick.
Ooh.
Michael Vick, for sure. Like a great with legs. You know, fast, lefty, hurler, on point, targeted. You know, we need a quarterback. We have everything else. I bring back Michael Vick for sure. Just like the first quarterback that you had to put respect on because he could run the ball too. So like your running backs were always open.
I was just trying to explain that to Jean-Claude Van Damashek. He was like, who's the first great running quarterback? And I said, he said Mike Vick. And I said, I guess maybe you would say for a guy who functionally would take off with the ball, maybe Steve Young and maybe even Roger Staubach before that. But a guy who was primarily just like Steve Young was a great athlete and was like, boy, he can run the ball, kind of some surprise from the fans. But Michael Vick running away from the best athletes on earth was something to behold in the moment. People kind of forget that because it's interesting at minimum that on a day when we're talking about OJ and Vick has had his issues, it's gotten in the way of, and rightly so, I guess you can make a case, but still like the phenomenon of Mike Vick for those couple of years was something to see because as a specimen, just like, he's faster than the guys chasing him and their job is to be fast and they can't catch him. It was remarkable stuff. That's a great call. I love that one.
I think also
Bartkowski.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
But you're right. I think Vic is the better choice.
More Manderson. I'm just kidding. I just want a kicker to come back. But I think it's a real testament to how talented Vic was that he went to prison and was able to still come back and play football. Like, to be away from the game for that long and then come back and then still have moderate success. Like, obviously he wasn't the same, but he was still good.
That is wild. That's a great point. You know, I'm not trying to conflate like, you know, crimes and all that and be weird about it, but I mean, like Deshaun Watson, the excuse is like, well, he just lost it. He was, you know, he took 2 years off and he's just never been the same since. That's an interesting point that I wonder how many guys have actually, I mean, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the Ted Williams had to take off, you know, long stretches in the middle of it. Didn't have to, did it, to fly military planes in war and all that kind of stuff. And now a quick break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Talk about bringing something back. Atlanta Falcons. I care about uniforms more than you do, Sarah Tiana.
Oh.
Go ahead. Bring back one outfit, one costume, one uniform for the Falcons to bring back and wear all through 2024 and for the rest of eternity. They can never wear another uniform. This is the only uniform that they are going to wear starting now till the end of time. Which is it?
Yeah, I like the all blacks with the red helmet. With
no,
the old,
you're Falcons. Wrong. No, that's wrong.
I'm wrong.
Sorry.
I like the all blacks and the black pants because I didn't like the white pants. But last year, a couple of times they did black and black, and I like that with the red helmet. So like that would be my. I think that looks sleek. Like when the Saints do that, that's the only thing I like about the Saints is when they do the all blacks.
Okay, but for the Falcons, you go black jersey, red hat, white pants, and that's black. It forever.
No, black pants.
Well, we can't do that. That doesn't look.
Of course. Right.
Black pants, black jersey, red hat.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's no. See?
Right.
Stick to sports. I'll take care of that. All right?
You'll take the fashion. Okay.
The correct. That's right. I will.
Okay.
You're goddamn right. I will, Tiana. I think I've earned it.
Okay.
Red helmet, red jersey, gray pants. What's cool about it is that it's an homage to the nearby college team. What's cooler than that, that the Georgia Bulldogs resonate so huge that they obscure everything to the degree that the pro football team is honoring them by wearing the same red and gray. That's pretty cool stuff. It's not as cool as all black and gold in Pittsburgh, but still pretty cool stuff regionally.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely love that I can wear red and black and represent two teams at once. But I mean, the Bulldogs will always do these, you know, blackouts, whiteouts, redouts. So they'll wear all red, they'll wear all white, they'll wear all black, like one game a year. And then everybody in the stadium has that color too. So like, I think that's always fun. I wish they would do more stuff like that with the Falcons, like really get fans involved. But fans have been a little beat down the last few years, ever
but
since
they're coming
the Super
back
Bowl.
With Mike Vick in the joint in that big camera thing, whatever you call that stadium, that aperture stadium thing. What an awesome
the bird's
stadium.
Nest.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, the bird's nest.
All right, Tiana. I think we've said a good deal. You have to go crack your wise for Tom Brady and about Tom Brady. You go do that with Jeff Ross and the assembled crew you have. Making those jokes for the big roast coming up in May. Sarah Tiana, make sure you're tracking her down on social media. You will be better for it. You will laugh when you read her insightful wisecracks. Go about it. We'll talk to you in a week, and we appreciate the time as always, Sarah Tiana.
Okay. Thanks,
there
Dave.
She goes, the great Sarah Tiana, everybody. And here we go, too. Let's check out here, Spaghetti. It's been a great week on the Extra Points Network. Go check out all the great content there. We'll be back on the other side of the sports weekend. Enjoy the Masters. Enjoy all of it. And until next time, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.